For our first Bible reading, we turn together, please, to the book of Deuteronomy and to the 33rd chapter of the book. We turn to page 211 in our church Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 13. In this portion of scripture, Moses is, according to God's inspiration, blessing the tribes, the peoples of Israel. And here in this section of this chapter, mention is made of the tribe of Joseph, or the peoples of Joseph. Perhaps that'd be a better way to put it. So let us hear this portion of God's word. And of Joseph he said, blessed by the Lord be his land, with the choicest gifts of heaven above, and of the deep that crouches beneath, with the choicest fruits of the sun, and the rich yield of the months, with the finest produce of the ancient mountains and the abundance of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favour of him who dwells in the bush. May these rest on the head of Joseph, on the pate of him who is prince among his brothers. A firstborn bull, he has majesty, and his horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them he shall gore the peoples, all of them, to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You'll find our second Bible reading on page 998, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew, chapter 22, and we turn to verse 34. Page 998, Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Let us hear this portion of God's written word. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we're going to see reasons why we should love the Lord more and more as we consider the words of blessing that are invoked by Moses over the peoples descended from Joseph. We're in Deuteronomy 33, verses 13 and following, page 211 of our church Bibles. Let us ask the Lord's blessing. Let us pray. O blessed Lord, who caused the scriptures to be written for our instruction, for our learning. And O blessed Lord, who has called us to let the word of God dwell in us richly. Come, Lord, and bless us now in these moments, we beseech of you. For we plead in the name that is above every name, even the all-glorious and all-wonderful name of Jesus our Saviour. Amen. Now you will see that the blessing that Moses is inspired to utter over the peoples of Joseph begins with the word blessed. You can see that there in verse 13. Blessed by the Lord be his hand. In one sense, it's a prayer. In another sense, it is a prediction. May the Lord lavish goodness upon Joseph. That's the great theme of these words of blessing. And as we consider them together tonight, please note with care that the expectation that God would lavish blessing upon Joseph is an expectation that the people of God in every single generation may entertain and should entertain in their own hearts. How do we know that that is the case? Because of the purpose of God. What is God's purpose? What is it that he says to his people? Well, he says, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. I will be your God. That is, I will be the God who watches over you, who strengthens you, who blesses you. And you're going to be my people. It's going to be evident amongst yourselves and even before the peoples of the world that you're mine, that I love you with an everlasting love. God promises blessing upon his people. And here, there's this promise of rich blessing upon the peoples of Joseph. Now, let us just note, as we take a closer look at these verses, that Joseph can justifiably be described as a type and shadow of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He was one who was rejected by his brothers. Christ comes to this world, the second person of the Trinity, humbles himself, comes to this world In human form, he takes humanity to himself. He dwells among men and women. In Nazareth, in Capernaum, in Galilee, in Judah. And people reject him. The religious leaders rejected him. But in the purposes and plans of Almighty God, Joseph was appointed to be the instrument by which the people descended from Jacob in those early years would be saved. In the fullness of time, in time of famine and destitution, they heard that there was corn in Egypt, and they went down to Egypt to request some of the corn that was stored there under the authority and by the direction of Joseph. And in due time, his father and the whole of his family would come and dwell there in that land of Egypt. So he becomes the instrument in the salvation of those people who otherwise would have died in the famine back there in the land of promise at that point in time. So he's a type and he's a shadow of the very work that our Lord and Saviour would do. And so when we read of the blessing that will be upon Joseph and his descendants, we find ourselves thinking about the way God richly and gloriously blessed our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But more than that, we also find ourselves rejoicing in the way that God blesses all those who are united to Jesus Christ. Well, with that in mind, let us ask ourselves this practical question. How are the people of Joseph to be blessed? Well, we can use three words. Three words, all beginning with the letter P, that are pointed to here in these verses. God, first of all, prospers his people. Secondly, God blesses his people by showing them something of his presence. And thirdly, God gives power to his people to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, those three themes, prospering, presence, and power, are all touched upon in these verses. And you get a hint of the first of those straight away in verse 13 when you read the beginning of the words of blessing. Blessed by the Lord be his land. And then in what follows, no less than six times, you have a word that is used in Hebrew that speaks of that which is choicest, best, finest. In one sense, it's a shame that our translators haven't kept up the alliteration in the verses 13 through to 16, that you have got in the original, where the same word, as I say, is used no less than six times. You get an indication of it when you read in verse 13, blessed by the Lord be his land, with the choicest of gifts from heaven above and of the deep that crouches beneath, with the choicest fruits of the sun and the rich yield, or the choicest fruits of the month. and the finest produce of the ancient mountains, and the abundance of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness. The peoples descended from Joseph. They became the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. And yes, Ephraim the secondborn was put before Manasseh by the purpose of God when Jacob came as grandfather to bless his grandsons. But they dwelt in a part of Israel in the land of promise, and they're going to go over soon into the land of promise. And in that land of promise, they would find the land apportioned to them, like the land in other parts, would be fertile indeed. It would produce plenty. And that would be true whether they were in lower lying land or in higher mountainous regions. God will bless his people. That is the picture that is being painted in words here. And obviously, it's put in terms that people of that generation, and not just that generation, of succeeding generations, will understand. You and I can very quickly see how when the land yields its harvest, there is evidence of God's favor and blessing upon his people. Well, may the land produce plenty for you, you sons of Joseph. It's interesting to compare the blessing of Jacob over his sons in Genesis chapter 49 with the blessing that is uttered here in Deuteronomy 33 by Moses. There's an important distinction that has been pointed out down the generations as people have studied these portions of Scripture. And it lies here. Jacob prays that Joseph would multiply and become strong. Moses here prays that those whom God has caused to be multiplied and grow strong would be those upon whom the plenty of God's provision would be lavished. And there's a picture of the Christian life. God brings men and women to himself, and God causes them to stand and to remain standing and to be strong in the things of Christ. And those who stand and remain standing and who are strong in the things of Christ, they are those who find God abundantly and wonderfully blessing them. And of course, the emphasis that we must take to heart is on spiritual blessings. It's tempting to focus on material blessings. The material is used as a pointer to the spiritual. And believers are those who are blessed in the heavenly realms, in all things in Jesus Christ, without a shadow of a doubt. But our problem too often is that we fail to perceive from the Word of God the blessings that God has for us, because too often we focus on what we can see and feel, and even hear, rather than on our God who blesses us richly in the heavenly realms. Plenty is the first thing. Prospering the people of God with plenty is the first thing that is mentioned in these verses. And it's the best of gifts, the choicest of gifts, or if you wanted to use another word, the sweetest and the most pleasant of gifts that God lavishes upon his people. But there's something more important, something far more important than material blessings. I've hinted at that just now, but when we come to the second of the blessings that is mentioned in these verses, we are confronted with that which is of far greater importance and significance in a very powerful way. Well, what is it? It's the very presence of God himself. Now, where do we find this, you may ask? Well, look at verse 16. The verse begins with a reference to the plenty of which we've just been speaking, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness. Pour that upon Joseph. But how then does the verse continue? What does it say in the middle of the verse? And what does it say at the end of the verse? Well, it says, and the favor of him who dwells in the bush. May that favor, the favor of him who dwells in the bush, be poured out upon Joseph. And may that, along with the material blessings, rest on the head of Joseph, on the pate of him who is prince among his brothers. Now, it's so easy when you read these verses to miss the point that is being made there, right in the middle of verse 16. Ask yourself the question, who is it who dwells in the bush? Is this a reference to the people of Joseph being there in the hills and in the bushes? No, it's not. This is surely a reference to that which Moses knew personally. You think of the call of Moses. God came to him. God spoke with him, and God showed something of his power and grace to him at the burning bush. You see, Moses was aware that God dwells with his people, and that God's people are enabled to find God with them, even in what other people would describe as, at the best, interesting or even odd circumstances. God showing something of his presence and power at a burning bush. You see, God has promised to dwell with his people. And here we have this invocation, this calling down of blessing upon the people of Joseph. May they in the land of promise know God prospering them with plenty. But may they also, more especially, it's as though he's saying, may they also know God's presence with them. What is eternal life? What is eternal life according to the teaching of our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's knowing God and his Son. Knowing God and his Son. Do you remember how it's put there in John chapter 17, where he speaks of God's blessing? He prays for God's blessing to be upon his church. And the Saviour is praying that the people of God would be those who know their God. And so you find yourself having to ask a very important question. And the important question we have to ask ourselves is, what's a distinctive feature of a believer? Now, of course, you could go to Galatians chapter 5 and you could say that a believer is an individual who knows the fruit of the Spirit, the peace and the joy and the love, the self-control and the like that God gives to his people. But there's something more than that that the believer knows. You see, how is it that the believer knows those things? The believer knows those things because he knows God and because he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those things flow out from knowing God and Christ. Have you ever wondered why it is, perhaps, that you or somebody else who professes to be a Christian lacks dynamism in the Christian life? Why they appear to be sad and morose? Why they appear to be perhaps turned in upon themselves? Why they appear to be criticizing what is going on and looking for reasons to put down other believers and even the church itself? Well, you have to ask yourself the question, when you see people behaving in that sort of way, when you see people behaving in a self-centered way in the church, and yet they want to call themselves Christians, you find yourself having to ask, do they really know the Lord? Because those who know the Lord are those who are no longer interested in themselves, their reputation. They're concerned for the glory of Christ. They want to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. That's what true believers seek to do. And they learn to love to do that more and more as they know the presence of God upon them. You remember the Apostle Paul warns us that there can be people who have the words, but not the power. They can, as it were, intellectually talk about what the Bible says, but they don't demonstrate that they know the Saviour and the power of the Saviour upon them and within them day by day. Well, now there's this blessing that is invoked upon the people of Joseph. May you be prospered with plenty. May you know the presence of Almighty God with you. And may you know his power, enabling you to enjoy victory day by day. Been a lot of debate about how we should interpret verse 17, especially the opening words of the verse, a firstborn bull. He has majesty, and his horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them he shall gore the peoples, all of them to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Now, just at the end of that verse, you can see that the prayer, the blessing that was invoked upon Joseph by Jacob has evidently been answered. Because there's reference here. These years later, these years after the time in Egypt and after the 40 years of wilderness wanderings, he's able to talk about the tens of thousands of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. Well, what was Jacob's prayer? Make this people grow, Lord. Prosper them. Multiply the descendants of Joseph. Well, they, he says, are the 10,000s of Ephraim. These people who have been empowered by God, they're likened to a bull. They're likened to a wild ox with horns. And what is described is that these people are enabled to deal with the peoples of the world, even to the ends of the earth. In other words, what Moses is invoking, calling down from God upon the peoples of Joseph in this blessing, is that God would so empower his people that they would enjoy victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that is precisely what God empowers his people in every single generation to enjoy. In the fullness of time, God sent his beloved Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to rescue, to redeem, to set free those who were under the curse of the law. It was quite evident as our Saviour went about, both before and during the years of his public ministry, that God prospered and blessed him. What happened at his baptism? This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. What happened at the time of testing in the desert? He's empowered to have victory over the devil. The devil may be misusing scripture, but the Saviour is empowered to see off the devil with his subtle attacks. And the Saviour was the one who knew the Father with him, who knew the presence of God in a great way. How else are you going to explain what he comes to say on the cross at the end of his days here on earth? My God, why have you forsaken me? Up to that point, he's known the blessing of God's presence with him. But he's the chosen instrument, the God-man, Christ Jesus. He's the chosen instrument for saving God's people from their sins. And to save his people from their sins, he must take the guilt of their sins upon himself. And that means he's going to endure the wrath of God, the displeasure of God, as he endures punishment in the place of sinners. And we deserve to be banished from God's presence forevermore for each and every one of the numerous sins that we have committed. Well, the Saviour experienced that forsakenness of which he spoke on the cross, as there he bled and died to satisfy the justice of Almighty God. but God gave him victory. For death could not hold on to him. Yes, he may have suffered the consequence of sin, death. But on the third day he rises. The power of God is upon him. He is raised triumphant from the grave. He's prospered by God. He knows the presence of God. And he knows the power of God. And what Christ knew, what Joseph knew as a type and shadow of Christ, is what every single believer in every single generation is invited to know and to enjoy in richer and richer measure. For the blessing that is prayed for here upon Joseph is but a picture of what God will do for his people in every single generation. And so you and I have great cause to be joyful and glad in the Lord. He will prosper his church and people. He will grant his church and people his presence. And he will empower his church and people to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Oh, my friends, are you rejoicing in this God who purposes these great things for undeserving individuals just like you and me? Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you used your servant Moses for the blessing of the people of the tribe of Joseph. And we thank you that we can learn much from the way you dealt with them. For we see, O Lord, that as Joseph was a type and shadow of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and the great work that he would do in saving his people from their sins, so we discover, O Lord, that Joseph is also a type and shadow of the rich and glorious blessings that it pleases you to pour upon your church and people in each and every generation. So make us, Lord, a thankful people who expect much from your hands, who delight much in your presence, and who are empowered to live to your glory day by day. For Jesus' sake. Amen.